Now it's time for a look at the dreaded days of middle school mishaps with Jeff Kinney, author of the Diary of a Wimpy Kid series.
The series deals with dorky protagonist Greg Heffley, who can't seem to catch a break as he navigates the complexities of his early teens.
Jeff Kinney has been called a children's book rock star. He's sold tens of millions of copies of his books around the globe. To date, his books have been turned into three films as well. The eighth installment in his Wimpy Kid series is called Hard Luck, comes out today. Jeff, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So why have people gravitated so much to your lead character, Greg Heffley?
I think that kids see themselves in Greg. You know, when I read books as a kid and the central character was heroic, I felt like I was reading about miniature adults and not like kids like I was. So I wanted to create a character who was more like I was as a kid and less like the heroes in today's films and TV shows.
And that's what I make of Greg when I've read the books with my kids or watched the movies. Sometimes he's a bit of a jerk. Sometimes his troubles with friends are of his own making.
Right. I think that if any of our lives were documented while we were in middle school, we wouldn't come out looking too favorably. So I really wanted to kind of capture that kind of spirit for these books, is that Greg, he's not a bad guy. He's just a kid that is he's not fully formed yet. He's not a fully formed person yet. So he's a work in progress.
And that seems like something anybody in middle school, junior high could identify with, definitely.
Right.
Well, I hate to ask authors how much of you is in this character, but you kind of alluded to it, so I'll ask you, how much of you is in Greg?
I think that all the worst parts of me are in Greg, actually. So I think that, he's the parts I'm not so proud of.
And do you, I know you do book signing events around the country. Do you meet the middle schoolers who are reading it? Do they say, there's a little bit of me there, I really identify with this guy?
Yeah. What's funny is actually I don't speak to a lot of middle schoolers. I think most middle schoolers have just slightly outgrown my books. Some kids in middle school still read them, but most of the kids I talk to are elementary school kids, and I think they really understand Greg. There's some sort of connection there that I think I understand.
That fits the pattern. That's my kids read and still read it in elementary school, so that makes sense. So one thing I didn't know, the first Diary of a Wimpy Kid started as a web series. How did you start releasing it that way?
That's right. I started releasing it on a website called FunBrain, which was a part of a company that I worked for, part of Pearson. And I was working for this website, and we needed to figure out how to get people to come back to the site during the summer because the traffic was very high during the school year. And so I said, well, I've been working on this thing for, the past 7 or 8 years, and I think that, we might be able to run it in daily installments and see if people will come back.
And the diary format works really well for that.
It does. It sort of just predated blogging, right when blogging was becoming popular on the web, daily bits of content. I was starting to release these daily installments, and I found that kids, that actually adults from all over the world were reading what I was writing, and it was very exciting to get emails from Pakistan and Russia and China of adults, professionals that were reading about Greg Heffley and waiting to hear what happened next.
I think I saw you quoted somewhere saying you thought maybe this is too American originally to have other people around the world interested in it. That you have found has proven not to be the case. Does it make the translation?
Yeah, my first concern was actually that it not ever feel dated. So I tried to generalize everything in terms of technology. I tried to take out any references to pop culture or to really any place and time kind of references. And I think that because of that, it's made the books sort of general and generic in a way. And I think that in a sense, childhood is the same everywhere. It's universal. So I think that's helped by making it to take out those references. It's really helped to make it appealing in other cultures and countries.
So that's why he writes in a diary, not on a blog or a tablet or something like that.
Right, right. If I, if I would have made this the blog of a wimpy kid, I think, 2 years from now, nobody would know what a blog
What's a blog?
Was. Right. Or Instagram of a wimpy kid. You know, you have to be careful about all that.
So in the newest installment, Hard Luck, Greg lost his best friend, Rowley, and is trying to make new friends. What? Just give us a taste of what life is like without his closest childhood friend.
Right. Well, Rowley has a girlfriend, and that's a shock to Greg's system. And what I was really trying to capture there was the feeling that you have as a teenager when your best friend gets a girlfriend or a boyfriend. And you lose them to that person. So I think there's a lot of humor to be found there. And then Greg, of course, has invested so heavily in this one guy that he finds out that he has to start over on the social ladder in middle school, which is not easy to do.
A lot of kids' books end with, maybe not explicitly, but a moral or a life lesson in it. Are you trying to do that, or do you want to leave that for other children's authors?
I really like to leave that to other children's authors because in my books, kids can sniff out a moral. Mm. It's why they jump so quickly from a show like Barney to something more sophisticated, and they can feel the heavy hand of an adult. So I certainly don't want my books to seem amoral. But I want them to feel like they're written for humor's sake and for entertainment's sake.
But given that people can identify with the main character in it, even if there's not a specific life lesson, I would imagine they can work through their own things and just by identifying with someone else.
Yeah, I read somebody online in a blog actually was writing about this very thing, and they were comparing Diary of a Wimpy Kid to Huckleberry Finn or Tom Sawyer, which is probably a bit too aspirational for my work. But what I really liked is that they said that that the writer, he let the readers make their own decisions. He trusted the readers to decide for themselves what they thought of the characters. And so I thought that was, Mark Twain doing that was really smart, and that's what I'm trying to do too, is that I would like for you to make up your own mind about Greg and the choices that he makes.
Now, Greg and some of the other characters in the book would be very happy playing video games all day, and that was part of my childhood and adulthood too, I'll admit. And my kids are kind of the same, and my kids have played on the Pop Tropica website, a game website, and you're the creator of that. This is another thing I just learned today. How'd you come to that day job?
I was working for Pearson, and we were running a website called FunBrain, and it had its advantages and disadvantages. And one day I was mowing the lawn, and it came up with this idea for a virtual world for kids. And I wanted to just kind of do it on my own, but I realized that we had this big audience and a great company behind us. So I'd be more successful in doing it in-house. So I still actually have my job there, and it's been very rewarding to have that to counterbalance the Wimpy Kid stuff.
Well, I wonder, are there lessons that apply to both of your worlds there? Are there ways that you engage a kid reader and a kid gamer that inform each other back and forth?
I think that what you need to do is you need to treat the kid as a sophisticated consumer. I was worried about that when I first released my books, because the tone was a little bit challenging. Greg is unreliable, and he's very flawed, which is a little bit unusual for kids series. So I think that with both properties, we try to write at a certain level of sophistication, and then hope our readers meet us there.
So I always wonder about this with kids' books and with shows like The Simpsons. Do you plan to age Greg and the other characters over the years? Are we going to see the high school years of a Wimpy Kid?
I used to actually worry about that a lot because I said, boy, Greg is going through a lot of middle school moments here, and eventually he's going to grow up. And then I had sort of a breakthrough thought was that Greg's DNA is really in cartoons. It's not in literature. And so I decided that Greg would stay the same age forever. In fact, I have a book called The Ugly Truth, which is the fifth book, and it's about puberty. And in that book, Greg's classmates are are, you know, they're going through the signs of puberty, like facial hair and pimples and all of that. And Greg is frustrated that he's not growing up. And, you know, it's sort of my joke with myself is that he's not growing up because he can't, because he's a cartoon character.
So just in our last 30 seconds or so, in your head, does Greg grow up and when, kind of like you have? He's a successful children's author or with a computer company. Does he run Google someday?
I think Greg would grow up and not be a happy person. He'd be a victim of his own, you know, thought processes. So I think that he'll be a, you know, a middle manager somewhere who's pretty petty. Whereas his friend Rowley, who's a bit of a doofus right now, will grow up to be a healthy and well-rounded person.
All right. Well, good luck to Greg Rowley and to you, Jeff.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
That's Jeff Kinney, author of the Diary of a Wimpy Kid series, newest installment out today. It's called Hard Luck.
Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, one guest says that we need a national town hall on football and the health risks associated with it.
And we'll discuss ways to improve science education around the country.
And then the Roller Derby World Championships are coming to Milwaukee, and we'll take a look at the sport that's seen a surge in popularity in the past decade.
That's tomorrow on Central Time. Coming up after the news, we'll hear about a rise in online niche dating. We're thinking farmers only or gluten-free singles. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.